Well, I've been thinking about you guys all week and been really praying that what we just sang would be reality for us, that God would, as the prophet spoke over those bones and they became alive, that God would raise up an army of mature men and women of God, and that would happen. And I've been praying that will not all occur this morning, because it is a process that God does in our lives, and we're going to talk about that. But I am curious how your week has been. First week back at school, or last week preparing to go back to school. How has the week been for parents, for teachers, for everybody? Good week? Bad week? Don't even want to talk about it, right? Lots of things going on. I suspect, though, that none of you here have had as crazy a thing happen this week as Peggy Jones had happened to her about a week and a half ago. Now, y'all don't know Peggy. She doesn't go to church here. She lives in Silsbee, Texas, just north of Beaumont. And about a week and a half ago, Peggy Jones was out mowing in her yard, or basically brush hogging a field that her and her husband own. And as she was mowing, out of the sky dropped a snake. It landed and curled around her arm. Well, Peggy doesn't know what to do at this point. She's in shock, right? Because she wasn't under a tree, drops out of the sky a snake onto her arm, curls around her arm, but she didn't have long to think about it, because as soon as that snake hit, down came a hawk swooping to grab that snake and made about four swoops over her, grabbing at the snake. The snake is striking at her, doesn't hit her because of her glasses. They do find venom on her glasses. She didn't even realize the snake was striking at her, because she said, all I could think to do was yell out, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Right? The snake was eventually pulled off by the hawk, very tenacious hawk, and so Jesus helped her in the form of a hawk who took the snake and flew off. And all they can figure is that hawk had the snake, dropped it, as they will do sometimes to kill the animal, dropped the snake, and it hit on her arm. So, how was your week? Right? Your week was really good compared to that, right? By the way, I was going to show you a picture, but her arm was just tenderized by that hawk grabbing over and over again, and just blood everywhere. So I'd have thought, I better not show that picture on Sunday morning to some of you. We don't want to have to revive you in the Holy Spirit, right, from that. But I want to start this morning a little bit different. We'll come back to Help Me Jesus in a moment. I want to start a little different. And so, again, in honor of school going or about to start, I want us to do something a little different this morning. We're going to do a little group project. Oh, no. Here's the good thing. This group project is only going to last 4 minutes, okay? This is not one of those where your friends are going to be like, well, I forgot to do my part, and I know your grade depends on me, but too bad for you, right? So I need you to find, you can only do it with three other people, so I need you to find a group of four. Somebody's going to have to take some notes. If you don't have something to write on, you can do it on your phone, as long as you can take notes on your phone like a teenage girl can text as quickly as they can text, right? So you need one person in your group that has a pen and a piece of paper or a phone. And then you need three people plus yourself in your group. So four people total. Everybody's going to do this other than Maria, because this is where I need you to help me, Maria. So I need you to get in those groups. And here's what I want you to do. You have an assignment. Y'all know what brainstorming is, right? That's when you just start throwing out ideas, right? You just start throwing things out. So you're going to do some brainstorming in your group. Do you have your group yet? Move quickly. All right, listen up. Here's your assignment in your group. I'm gonna set a timer on my phone. So you're gonna have to move quickly. I want you to take 3 minutes, and here's what I want you to brainstorm about in your group. What are the defining qualities or characteristics of a mature man or woman of God? And so what you should do is you should just start naming off stuff and just start listing things. Defining characteristics are qualities of a man, a powerful, a mature man or woman of God. All right? Now, I'm going to have you do one more thing together as really with your what you have written down. What I want each person to do, so if you had four in a group, you should end up with four. I want you to pick out of what all those you listed, what for you, each person will choose one that is the most important or defining characteristic or quality of a mature man or woman of God. So let me give you an example. I think humility is one of the most important characteristics. I've known a lot of men and women who are very gifted, very talented, and it seems like God uses them incredibly, and then you get to know them, and you find out, man, they're so full of pride, full of themselves. But humility is the way of Jesus, and we see that all the way throughout Scripture. So here's what I want us to do. We're going to do this all together as a group, is I want us to kind of draw a picture or define through words, but it kind of gives us a picture of what it is that we're supposed to be after when we talk about being a mature man or woman of God. So, here's the question. We're not even done here, right? But we're listing out some very important qualities that when you see somebody say, that is a mature man or woman of God, this is what it looks like, right? So the question is, how do you get from this from where you are now? Because some of you, you're thinking, okay, this is what it looks like, and I'm way over here. All you can think is, help me, Jesus, right? Like, how am I going to get there to that? Now, there's a few ways that maybe could get you there, right? For instance, multiple choice. How do you get from where you are currently to this? A, you watch more TikTok videos. B, you read more about current events. C, you work on improving your game, whether that's a video game or basketball or whatever your thing is, hunting, whatever it is. Four, you could protest more against woke companies, and that'll get you there, right? To this. Or E, you could resolve to do better today, and that'll get you there, right? Just have resolve. Or F, none of the above. The answer is F, none of the above. Nothing wrong with working on your game, watching maybe some TikTok videos, any of those things, but it's not going to get you here. That's not going to make you into a mature man or woman of God. And so what I want to do today is I want to assume that all of you here that are Christians, every believer here wants to be a mature man or woman of God and wants to be here, right? And I want to assume that you want peace in your life, right? Probably whether you're a man or woman of God or not, or desire that, you want peace in your life. Some of you want to be filled with joy. You want joy in your life. You want contentment in your life. You don't want to always feel like I don't have enough, and you want contentment in your life. And the way that you get that is through these things here, through becoming a mature man or woman of God. That's the route to the peace, to the joy, to the contentment in our lives. And this comes only through spiritual maturity. And it does not come, it does not come just by showing up an hour a week. That's not how this develops in our lives. You see, there's a misconception that I think a lot of people have, and that is that spiritual maturity will just happen over time. And I have no idea why we still would even think that in our minds, because we all know people that have been in church decades, and we're still like, don't get around him. Don't get around her. Don't say anything that they might disagree with, or you're going to hear it, right? And so we know that there are people who've been in church for decades that this does not characterize them. So just showing up an hour a week and just having time, it's not going to do it. But God uses some things in our lives that bring about spiritual maturity. I want to talk real quickly about a few of those, and then we're going to land on one today. First of all, God uses prayer in our lives. It's amazing how God, when you begin to pray, even if you're praying, God, get them, how God can bring conviction in your life, and God, before long, if you keep praying, God, all of a sudden, you're praying and crying out for God to change them. God uses prayer to develop us more and more into this. God uses circumstances in our lives, right? God will use circumstances in all different kinds of ways. If you read through the Bible, Jonah, God uses circumstances. Samson, God uses circumstances. David, God uses circumstances. Peter, Paul, over and over again, all these people that we read about in the Bible, God uses circumstance or used circumstances in their lives to develop them into the men and women of God that they were called to be. Not just circumstances, but God can use those in our lives. God uses people in our lives, right? God puts people in our lives, and sometimes those people, you think, yeah, but they just irritate me. And God is showing you things about yourself as you realize, oh, I'm not patient, right? Oh, I'm not full of grace the way I need to be. Because this person just gets on your nerves and you say, I just can't stand to be around them. I just always get on my nerves. That says more about you than about them. And God is using people in your lives. Sometimes they rub you the wrong way, but God is using them in your life to make you into the man or woman, to reveal things to you. Fourth, God uses personal ministry. When you get involved in doing ministry, everybody who's been through new member orientation has heard me say, God teaches you things about yourself and about other people and about dependence upon Him when you're doing ministry in ways that you never learn just sitting in a classroom listening to somebody teach, in ways that you're never going to learn just listening to me on Sunday morning. God will use, as you take a step of faith, and say, okay, God, you're calling me to do this. I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know, God, how you're going to come through in this, but I'm going to let you be the Lord of my life, and I'm going to do this. And God will begin teaching you things and maturing you through personal ministry. But the thing for all of us is, if we're over here and we say, well, that's what I want to move toward, this is who I want to be, all of us at some point, as we're walking that direction, we start to kind of veer off unintentionally, right? And we need something that's going to gently correct us and move us back on the right path. God has to use something to do that. Sometimes it's not that we just kind of unintentionally veer off track. We intentionally veer off track, don't we? And sometimes we're going to need something that's going to really rebuke us and get us back on track towards becoming the man or woman of God that we are supposed to be. We need some things in our lives that are going to not only rebuke us, not only going to kind of correct us gently, we need some things that are going to teach us what it means to be this. And we're going to need training, right? Because again, it can't just be sitting in a lab somewhere just studying something. You can go to the gym all day long and study weightlifting. Until you start weightlifting, it's not going to affect who you are, right? You got all the mental knowledge, but you're not doing this. And so, if only God had given us something that would correct us and rebuke us and train us and teach us, wouldn't that be so helpful? If only there was something that some way that could happen in our lives. Let me ask you to open your Bible to a few passages this morning. I want to start in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. If you happen to not have a Bible, I think this will be on the screen this morning. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 12 is where I want us to look. At the beginning of chapter 4, the writer of Hebrews is given a warning for them not to be like other people who have turned away from God, and not to harden their hearts, but to continue on walking with the Lord and enter into His Sabbath rest is what he's talking about. And then he says, in verse 11, he says, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and active and is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. If we're going to become this person, we need some deep, deep looks into our soul, don't we? And who we really are. And the Word of God does that for us. He's explaining in terms that they can understand as much. He says, the Word of God, it divides the joints and the marrow, and it discerns the thoughts and intentions. It's division of soul and spirit. Basically, he's saying the Word of God gets through all the fakeness and all the exterior, and it exposes who we really are. And every one of us here needs that. One of the most haunting passages of Scripture to me is 1 Corinthians 13. You say, well, wait, that's the love chapter. How can that be a haunting passage, right? It's the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul says, I could sacrifice my body, but if I don't have love, it's nothing. You see, you can do all these things. You can sacrifice who you are. We can do certain things. But if it's not motivated by love, he says, it's nothing. And how do I know what's really motivating me? I need something that's going to get through all of that. My heart is deceitful. My heart is already deceitful. So I need something that's going to get cut through all of that to the depths of who I am. And the Bible tells us that the Word of God will do that. It's the reason that you and I need to continue to be in the Word of God constantly, is to find out who we really are. I love that he says that the Word of God, it's active, it's living and active, it's not passive. It's like Jeremiah chapter 23 says, my word will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it out. And it brings the subconscious motives that we have to light. Your friends aren't going to be able to do that. Your spouse can't do that. Now, your spouse, you may think, my spouse is pretty good at determining my subconscious motives, right? But the Word of God will be able to get to the depths of who you are so that you can see, oh, this is not where I am. I need to work towards this. Some people think they're humble. If you think you're humble, you're not, right? And so you got to find something that'll do that. The Word of God does that. Turn with me, if you will, now to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is a familiar passage for some of you. I'm going to begin with verse 14. I don't know if that one will be on the screen, but I know a couple of these verses will. Paul writes to his young disciple Timothy, and he says, as for you, Timothy, he says, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, what I love is that Paul doesn't say, okay, you know the Scriptures, Timothy, that's all you need. No, but he goes on and says, here's what Scripture does. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God or a woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And what Paul is telling Timothy is, Timothy, if this is who you are to be, the Word of God is crucial in you becoming this and equipping you, thoroughly equipping you for every good work that God's going to put in your life. For every work that God's going to put in Audrey's life, or in Arnold's life, for every work, if you want to be equipped, the Word of God is crucial to your life. It's crucial to my life. If I want to move more and more to being full of grace and wise and selfless and joyful and respectful and kind and obedient and all of those things, the Word of God fully equips us. And the Word of God, it teaches us, and it's important for us because sometimes we see ourselves as more mature than we are, right? And we need the Word of God to remind us, yeah, you're not all that. But sometimes, some of you here, you need a reminder that you are not worthless, that you are valuable to God, that you are so down on yourself and who you are. Maybe you've messed up, or maybe it's not even that. You just think, I'm worth nothing. The Word of God will remind you how God sees you and how God values you. And He calls you a child of the King, and He has adopted you into His family. The adoption metaphor is so important for us, because it's not like, well, whoops, we had another one. Adoption is intentional. I want you to be a part of this family. And sometimes you need that. Sometimes maybe we're complaining about all the stuff that we don't have and how we don't have this or that or how somebody else does. And sometimes we need the Word of God to remind us of how blessed we really are. Because the world keeps telling you, you don't have enough. You need more. The Word of God teaches us. It trains us in righteousness. And we need it for that. And then one other passage I just want to mention to you, kind of in passing, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the world any longer, but be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. You want to be transformed into this, you've got to renew your mind. And that's why I just kind of put it up there and laughed about it, whether it's TikTok videos or the next Netflix binge that you want to do, what shows do I need to watch next, all those things. Those will not transform you. It's the Word of God. And I want to say this, and I love Christian music, I love gospel music, I love the songs that we sing, and they may be based on the Word of God, but they cannot do what the Word of God does. Because they are not the Word of God. They are an interpretation, or they are an expansion of some concepts in the Word of God. And I think you need to sing those things, and you need to fill your mind with those things. It's not that they're not important, but they cannot replace the Word of God. You say, well, I just do it through singing songs. No, you need the Word of God. Because the Word of God surprises us sometimes, doesn't it? And you say, oh, I need this song today for me. And God says, no, here's what you need for you today. And I'm going to show you what you need for yourself today. So this is the goal. It's what Paul says, right? That we're to run a race to win the prize. He says, run towards the goal to win the prize. He says, you forget what's behind, you press on towards what's ahead. So I wasn't even planning on talking about that verse, but I just want to say this. Wherever you are today and you say, well, I'm way over here. I'm not even that close. I'm way over here, and I should be so much further along, and I've messed up in the past. And Paul says, forgetting what is behind and pressing on towards what is ahead. Some of you here, the only way you're going to start moving towards that is you just got to forget what's behind. You got to say, Lord, forgive me. The Lord forgives you. He throws you as far as the east is from the west, right? And you got to move towards this now, forgetting what is behind. For some of you, and I've felt this at times in my life, you got to forget even some of the good things that are behind. The good old, if I could just go back to the good old days when I had this, or when I was in college and when I was able, you got to forget the good old days. And press on towards what's ahead. Because sometimes thinking about the good old days just keeps you mired in the present. And not moving towards what God has for you. And so we've got to move towards that. And what we want to do, we've talked about as elders, is we want to help all of us together to make sure that we are letting the Word of God do the work that it will do in our lives. And so we are beginning this week. I want to spend a few moments talking about this. This week, a plan called the 5x5x5. For us, together as a church, not individually, although you'll do the work at home, for us to read the Word of God together. And what 5x5x5 is we will, over the next 52 weeks, read the entire New Testament. It's one chapter a day. For 52 weeks, 5 days a week. That means you get 2 days off, right? You get a day that you say, oh, I forgot, or I left it at home, or whatever happened, you know, or I was just crazy busy and had a project that was due, whatever it is. You get 5 days a week, 5 minutes a day to read the New Testament. And then, so here's how this is going to work for us. I'm going to walk you through this step by step, okay? Step number one, you're going to gather your Bible. You got to have a Bible. Now, I know a lot of people love just doing the Bible right here, right? And honestly, when I go to conferences and things like that, this is what I take. Because this, almost meets my 10-pound weight limit. I'm not supposed to pick up over right now, right? But when you are reading the Word of God for yourself, you need a paper copy of the Bible. And I know that sounds so old school. You need a paper copy that you can underline, that you can highlight, that you can flip back and forth to different passages. I know you can do some of those things on here. It is not the same. You're reading the same screen over and over and over and over again. Whereas this, oh, it's on this side of the page, it's on that side of the page. I'm just telling you, get a copy. If you don't have a Bible, listen, we got so many in Lost and Found, we'll outfit you. We got different translations available that people have left behind, all those kinds of things. And you need to pick one that works for you. You say, well, what version should I use? I preach from the ESV, but when I do my devotional time, I use the NIV. It's just simpler for me. And it's what I learned from college on. And so it's familiar. And so I use the NIV, but I preach from the ESV. I don't want to get into why that is. But you need a Bible. You're going to need one of these. This is the 5x5x5 reading plan. And when you open it up inside, it has every week that we're going to be reading. And so it says week 1, August 13th through the 19th, starting today, this week through Saturday, I'm supposed to read Mark chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Now, don't sit down and read it all one day. Read a little bit at a time, one chapter a day. And so we're going to read Mark. This week we'll read Mark 1 through 5. What I love about this, and Maria went through and she put in all the actual dates for us, because you're like, wait, what week are we in? We're only week 12 or 14, or where are we? Some of you, all of us maybe, are going to get off at some point during this thing. You're going to miss a week and you're going to think, wait, where are we? It's so easy for you to just jump back in and say, okay, maybe I can go back and catch up, maybe not. But don't worry about going back and catching up. If you can't catch up, just start back on whatever day it is, whatever week it is. You're going to need one of these. And you're going to need something to write on. You're going to need some kind of a journal. Now, some of you, you're going to be like me and say, I'm going to spend a lot on a journal, and I'm going to spend 50 cents at Walmart for one of these little things, right? But whatever it is, some of you, you like pretty journals, and I get it, and you know, it has to be like paper, it looks like it's 100 years old or something like that. Whatever you want to use, you go out and get whatever you want. You may already have something at the home, at your house, but you need some kind of journal, something to write on. And what you're going to do is you're going to sit down in the morning or in the evening or at noon or whenever works for you, and you're going to take, they say 5 minutes, it may take you 10 minutes, okay? And you're going to turn to Mark chapter 1. And what I want you to do is you gather that. Oh, you need a pen too. You're going to need a pen. You will need something to write with. Some of you, maybe you keep up with it on your computer. That's up to you. However you do that. But you're going to need a pen. And then what I want you to do is I want you to pray briefly. I don't want you to spend an hour trying to pray for everybody and everything. I just want you to pray briefly before you begin to read the Word of God and say, Lord, would you mold me into your image? Would you use your word to make my heart more like yours? Lord, would you show me something today? Prepare me for every good work, Lord. I'm not reading this today just for information, although God will give you information. Lord, I'm not reading it just so I can win a Bible trivia. Lord, I'm asking you, use this to transform my life and to make me more and more like you. That's what we're after here, not that who's going to know the most about the Bible at the end of this. And then, after that brief prayer, I just want you to read one chapter. Whatever chapter it is for that day. Read the chapter, and then as you read, you're going to be asking and answering the questions in the reading guide. On the front of your reading guide, it says 5 ways to dig deeper. I'm not going to go through all of these right now, but it'll be some questions that you can ask, some ways that'll help you in actually pulling something out of here. The goal is not, I love, they do have little check boxes you can check that you actually did it. Don't cheat. Don't show up with yours all checked off when you didn't read it, okay? But when you read, to ask some questions. Now, next week I'm going to talk just briefly about asking these questions, and it's going to seem awkward to you at first, and you're going to say, well, it doesn't really jive with me real well, and I don't know that that's the best way for me to do it. I want to talk about that uncomfortableness and how you can deal with that uncomfortableness that's there. But you'll ask these questions, and you'll answer some of these questions, and that's where your notebook comes in handy, is that as you're reading, maybe God's pointing out something to you, and you just jot down in your notebook, just put the date, maybe the passage, and just jot it down. You don't have to write paragraphs. You don't have to write pages. Just jot down, what is God saying to me? And I emphasize this every time we talk about the Word of God. The Word tells us to meditate upon the Word of God. That's the goal for us here, is to meditate upon God's Word. Not to just read it, but to allow it to soak into our lives. And allow the Holy Spirit to begin to bring to us either conviction or encouragement, our correction, our training, or whatever it is that he wants to bring through these passages. By the way, you're going to read this, and you're not going to have something to write down every day. I promise you, there will be days you'll say, well, I don't feel like I really got anything today from this. You will have those days. Anybody who's done this for any amount of time, you know that, right? You will have those days. Guess what? You're still being trained. You're still being trained. There are days, if I go to the gym, haven't been the last 6 or 7 weeks, but if I go to the gym or if I work out with weights, I feel like I don't know that anything happened today. But it's the cumulative effect of what's happening day after day and week after week. And so don't think, oh, well, nothing happened for me today. I didn't get anything out of it today. I'm just going to give up on this. You just write down when you get something. If you don't have anything, that's okay too. So read one chapter, ask and answer those. Fourth, I think I just covered that. Jot down the notes when God's showing you something, convicting you, teaching you, rebuking you, training you. And then fifth, I want you to share what you were learning, how you're growing with other people who are following Jesus. In other words, everybody here, if this is where you go on a regular basis, you need to join a life group, because our life groups are going to be doing this together. And I've instructed all of our life group leaders, and if your life group leader doesn't do this, you come tell on them to me, okay? That what I want us to do at the beginning of every life group, starting next Sunday, because you will have had a week to read, is to take a few moments at the beginning and just say, all right, you've read this week. Who has something to share? What God is saying to them. What God is showing them about their life. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Your life group leaders hopefully will tell you this over and over again, because this is going to be the problem. Let's say Ken back here comes in and he says, oh, I want to share with my group. I was reading this and I thought, man, this is what everybody here needs to be doing. That's not what we're asking. This is not your time to shine with your sermon that you've been waiting to give to everybody, okay? For you personally, what Ken should say is, you know what, this is what God showed me that I need to be doing. This is a time to be very focused on what God is showing you. And what should happen is in your group, whether you've got 6 people or you've got 16 people or whatever size of group you've got, is that over time everybody begins to share, this is what God is saying to me. The Bible is very specific. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another, right? Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and thanksgiving to the Lord. But it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. That's what we're trying to do throughout the week. And then we share with one another what God has said. Some of you say, well, I'm just too personal. That's okay. You just come and you listen. You listen a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months. That's fine. But we need to be encouraged from one another. And it may very well be that God is showing you something for you and you share that with the group. And there's somebody else sitting there that God is working on them on the very same thing. In fact, I'm almost positive that's going to happen in some of your groups. Some of you, it's going to happen on a regular basis when you share what God is doing. So you come and you share, because we're called to do this together. You are not called to do this alone. We are called to do this thing called the Christian life together. And I mentioned it earlier, God uses people to help us move this direction. There's nothing other than the Word of God more important than you being around somebody else who's already further ahead of you in this, to say, I want to be around them. He who walks with the wise grows wise. He who walks with those who are mature will grow more mature, but a companion of fools suffers harm, right? You need to get around some people who are headed the same direction together with you. Sixth, once a week, if you have family that's going through this together, so in my house, me, my son, my wife, will all be going through this together. Once a week, I want you to get together with them and share with them and hear from them what God's saying to each of you, what God said to you that week. Just one night around the dinner table or before you watch some show or whatever it is that you do on a regular basis with your family, as you're coming back from a football game or whatever it is, once a week you sit down together and you say, hey, what's God been showing you in Scripture this week? Parents, I want to tell you this is an important thing for us to do. Our teenagers, our children need to hear that God is working in our lives. That God is still convicting us. That God is still speaking to us. I want you to bring your teenagers, and I want them to be plugged into the youth, but that is not the end of your responsibility. Just take a moment, a few moments, and sit down together and say, hey, I've got my notebook here. Here's what God showed me this week for me. And again, this is not the time to say, and I kind of jokingly do at our house sometimes, yeah, I was reading this week in Ephesians, and it says, children, obey your parents as in the Lord. And I was thinking about that. This is not the time to do that. You can joke about those things other times. But this is a time for you as a parent to say, God's still working on me and speaking to me. Seventh, I want you to be a part of hearing others teach and preach on these scriptures that you're reading during the week. The other thing that's going to happen in your life groups is, as you've read through those five chapters, every life group that you go to, they're going to be teaching on one of those passages that you read that week. So you read Mark 1 through 5. Next Sunday, if you're in a Sunday morning life group, you're going to have some kind of a lesson in one of those passages from Mark 1 through 5. And then when you come in here on Sunday morning, I'm going to be teaching from something that you read that week. We're going to be going over that. So we're just going to be drilling these things into our minds and our hearts as we read these things together. And then eighth, I want you to pray that God would speak to you, and God would speak to me and to us together as a church. The Word of God is living and active, more powerful than any two-edged sword. It will do the work in our lives. But we need to sit down and open it up and read it and meditate upon it. I'm just sharing with you from my personal experience. There is nothing that has shaped me more than the Word of God. And times in my life when I think, oh, I've started veering off track, when I've started doing this, it's usually because my time in the Word of God has grown less and less. Maybe for some of you it's even non-existent. So what will it be for you? Will you join us in this? And I want to say, let's do this together. Let's put together, and what we're asking to do in these groups is we're asking to put together some of the things that transform us. So when we come in groups, again, we're letting God use people in our lives, teachers, letting other people share, and we're using the Word of God, and we're praying together in those groups too, right? So let's put some of these things together to help us become the men and women. Don't do it alone. I can't say that enough. Don't do it alone. Find and be a part of a group. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we want to pray together today. And Lord, we pray that you would show us through your word how we can become more and more of this man or this woman of God. Lord, we pray that you would, with the living and active Word of God, that you would teach us, that you would train us. Lord, that you would rebuke us at times, that you would correct us in our attitudes, in our thoughts, in our actions, in the way that we respond to one another, interact with one another. Lord, we pray that you would work in us. God, we believe what your word tells us. We believe it will equip us and prepare us to do every good work. And so, God, I pray your blessings upon us as a church as we begin this journey together. To read through your word. To know who you're calling us to be. Lord, I pray that when we get down the road a year from now, we will rejoice in the progress that's been made, that you've changed us, that you're continuing to change us, but Lord, but that we are closer and closer to being that mature man and woman of God. Lord, we pray today through the power of your Holy Spirit as you apply your word to our hearts, that we would be pleasing and honoring and lifting up the name of Jesus. To you be all glory. In Jesus' name.